Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Which text? One? Huh? Text 22? Nahi abhutam? Nahi abhutam vakchara dabja renubir. Ahatmahaso bhaktir ahoksa jemala. Mohurtika dyasya samagamak chame. Dustarka mulo bahato vivekaha. Nahi abhutam tvakchara nabaja renuvir. Ah. Tam haso bhaktya ahoksha jemala. Mohurtika dyasya sama gamakchame. Dustarka mulo bhato vipikaha. Nahi ad bhutam tvakchara nabja renubir. Atam haso bhaktir adoksha jemala. Mohurtika dyasya samagamak cha me. Dustarka mulo bhato vivikaha. Had the right verse. Anat. He certainly. Adbhutam. Wonderful. Svat charana abjare nubihi. Hatta amhamsaha. Who am completely freed from the reactions of sinful life. Bhakti, love and devotion. Adhokshajay, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the capture of experimental knowledge. Amala, completely freed from all material contamination. Mohurtikat, momentarily. Yasya, of whom? Samagamat, by the visit and association. Cha, also. Me, my. Dustarka, of false arguments. Mulaha, the root. Apahataha, completely vanquished. Avivekaha, not discriminating. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is not at all wonderful that simply by being covered by the dust of your lotus feet, one immediately attains the platform of pure devotional service to Adhokshaja, which is not available even to great demigods like Brahma. By associating with you just for a moment, I am now freed from all argument, false prestige, and lack of discrimination, which are the roots of entanglement in the material world. Now I am free from all these problems. Purport. Association with pure devotees certainly frees one from the material clutches. This is certainly true of King Rahugana's association with Judd Bart. King Rahugana was immediately freed from the misgivings of material association. The arguments offered by pure devotees to their disciples are so convincing that even a dull-headed disciple is immediately enlightened with spiritual knowledge. Translation, it's not at all wonderful that simply by being covered by the dust of your lotus feet, one immediately attains the platform of pure devotional service to Adhokshaja, which is not available even to great demigods like Brahma. By associating with you, just for a moment, I'm now freed from all argument, false prestige, and lack of discrimination, which are the roots of entanglement in the material world. Now I'm free from all these problems. That would be nice. Omaginata marandasya ganagana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurudev namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam shtapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svabhatandikam vandeham shri guru shri yudha patikamalam shri gurum vaishnavamscha shri rupam sikrajitam sahagana ragunathavitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Pitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Juga Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorande Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vrishambanusite Devi Paramani Hari Priye Vanchakalpatirubhyastha kripasindhuvyevacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnevyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Moments association with a pure devotee can deliver one from the greatest danger. This is our scriptural injunction. So here, one of my favorite characters from the histories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jad Bharat, is giving his mercy to a king who considers himself, in one sense, to be completely dull-headed. He's humbled, completely humbled. And in that condition, he's able to surrender completely. I remember in Detroit in 1972, there was many of us driven. I was in New Vrindavan. I drove up to Detroit with Kirtanananda and Hari Griva, and devotees from all over came. Prabhupada arrived at the airport, and he got out of the jetway to a throng of about 200 devotees. And he sat down on a chair. At that time, there was no security to worry about. And he said something. I was just Bhakta Dev at the time. I was never met Prabhupada before, never seen him before in person. And he sat down and he said, "You are not this body, and the entire group of us, all 200 devotees, everybody," and everybody remembers this, "we all started crying. We just all started, tears started flowing down. I couldn't stop for hours. What were those tears of? They were of gratitude and relief. Just that one utterance from a pure devotee, and he touched the hearts of everybody who was in the room who'd come to see him. That's the power of a moment's association with a pure devotee." And you know, that's a ruchi, that's a taste of the spiritual ecstasy. Because in that moment, all your anxieties disappear. The truth is brighter than 1,000 suns. And you feel bathed in the reality of our actual identity and the protection of a pure devotee, someone speaking directly from the spiritual sky. I'm trying to convey to you the kind of feeling that exists in not just the philosophy and the philosophizing of Vaishnavism, but the actual mellows that we earn through our service. And in that state, we are so vulnerable. When you feel that gratitude and that sense of relief, you also feel an enormous sense of loyalty and faith and trust in someone who is giving you something that nobody else has been able to supply. So I look at that one moment in time, which I've carried with me all these years, and it has served me well, because in our difficult times we face many challenges, emotional challenges and other types of physical challenges in our pursuit of bhakti, our pursuit of having that moment be every moment. Because in that one moment's association, you feel that you are safe. You are safe. How many of us can say when we are talking with each other, that we feel completely safe with each other. Here's King Rahuguna. How can he explain and exclaim his sense of gratitude without his having felt completely safe under the beautiful gaze of this pure devotee that he finally recognized? And it's that sense of safety that we should strive to create in the Vaishnav Sangha, in the relationship. And it's such a great example for us in our daily dealings to meditate upon how can I offer this person who somehow by Krishna's directing the wanderings of all the living entities, how can I create a safe space for them where their ego doesn't feel challenged, where their being feels somehow I'm supporting them completely. You know, we get a lot of practice for doing that in married life. The husband and the wife and the children, you know, you constantly have to swallow your ego, your sense of I am this body, in order to sacrifice for your kids and for your wife and for your husband. Because it's a little crucible, that griha. It's a little cage, an elevator, so to speak, that's closed, and you have to get along. So you have to keep creating safe spaces for each other. That exists when you say, I'm sorry. That exists when you say, please forgive me. That exists when you don't use harsh voice with someone, and when you do, to beg their forgiveness. And Jud Bharat, if you remember, this great personality, he felt, his body felt insulted. It wasn't that the body that he was in did not have a reaction to the king's harsh words. But because he was self-realized, he understood the difference between himself and his bodily feelings. He was able to react as a pure soul and not react in the bodily conception. Here's a person who had been abused by his brothers. He was an equal, and because he would not speak, because he pretended to be deaf, he was considered something lower, practically an animal, to just be kept out in the field every day. That's why I identify with him. You know, I really feel like sometimes, you know, in your bhakti, you're kind of put out to pasture. Yeah, let him just go work out in the tilling the garden, you know, while the important work is done inside the house, you know. And I think that that's true of everyone, even the leadership at times. You know, we all have our moments when we feel like we're not respected, we're not heard, we're disenfranchised. And Jud Bharat is such a wonderful leader for us. Our association with him through the Bhagavatam is an association with a pure devotee. Because through the Shruti, through the hearing, we have experience that he's going through. And we know in that moment when we can identify to some degree with his battle between reacting as the body and being the soul, that's how a pure devotee operates. It's not that Prabhupada did not get sick. It's not that Prabhupada did not feel things or see things that were provoking the senses. One time in New York, he had just given Tripurari a sannyas, and he said, he called him into his room, and he said, "The women in New York, they are very beautiful." And Tripurari didn't know what to say. He's just given sannyas, you know, what does he say to such a comment? He shouldn't be even looking, you know. So he said nothing. He abstained from, that's what you do when you don't know what to do, you abstain. Or you don't want to be found out. So then Prabhupada said, "Yes, I have seen the women. They're very beautiful. And they are controlling the men by their beauty." So it's not that Prabhupada was not aware. His senses were perfectly aware of everything around him. But because he's on the platform of a pure devotee, he doesn't have to, he chooses not to act upon those various provocations. He finds the Krishna consciousness in them. That's what he finds. And then he shares it with his disciples so that they can also learn how to do that. But this concept that of a moment's association with a pure devotee inspired me last year to make a proposal to the GBC. Because I always felt that there's no doubt, we have no doubts in our movement, that Prabhupada was a pure devotee. There was no material tinge of anything material about him. And frankly, because we're all Vaishnavas, you know, that's one thing I think we can all agree. We may not agree about this, you know, we have 70 some odd gurus in our ISKCON. We don't know, is that one 100% pure, 99% pure, 86% pure, 45% pure? You know, we can all argue on those. But nobody can argue about Prabhupada. So I had made a proposal. I was going through some of the websites by some circumstance, and I noticed that Prabhupada's picture was missing on quite a few of the guru websites. So I made a proposal that Prabhupada's picture be prominently displayed on the homepage of all ISKCON guru websites. So I got some interesting feedback from that, and some various, some opposition, not a lot, and it was eventually passed, so it's now ISKCON in the ISKCON law books. But the point that I made to people who had some doubts about that, because they had certain style of preaching and they didn't want to have Prabhupada's picture maybe prejudice someone looking at the website. And, you know, I really think that they're very sincere and they have a certain approach. But I said, you know, in the 1970s, when Prabhupada was present with us, and when I was there, I said, we all understood that just having a glimpse of a pure devotee was purifying and would benefit the conditioned soul unimaginably greatly. So I said, that's why if you put the picture there, everyone will see a pure devotee. They'll have that opportunity. And so I think that was one of the arguments that was put forward when they were vetting the proposal. And by and large, that's the kind of, when people see Prabhupada's picture, many people have just immediately said to themselves, "I need to know more about that man. His countenance, his face, everything about him, the purity that exudes from that picture, it's not something that's dyed. It's actually living. You know, that it says that thou art living in sound. The Vaishnavas don't die, but thou art living in sound." And they live in their pictures. Why else do we have a picture of not only Prabhupada but Bhakti Siddhanta and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and Bhakti Vinod? You know, we have their pictures on our altar. Why? Because it's purifying. You know, sometimes I'll see people and they'll come up to the altar here and they'll stand there for a long time looking. And I think to myself, did I miss something? Did the deities? I tried to kind of look at them, all the details of the nice dressing that the puja. I tried to see the devotion that is present before us every day. Fresh devotion. Here it is, free for the asking. It's on display. You know, if you're, you know, people go window shopping and they want to see the latest Christmas decorations and everything. They're staring in the windows, you know, for all the material manifestations coming to life. Here in the temple, we have a display every day. It's a window display. Every day you can stand and you can see how nicely the pujaris have beautified. Of course, you can't beautify Krishna, but you can serve Krishna. How nicely they've served Krishna. And sometimes I see people and they're standing there for a long, long time. And I go, what are they seeing that I can't see? They have a darshan there of something that I have not risen to that level. Why can't I just stand there and be satisfied to put my gaze on the beautiful deity forms of the Lord, you know? And I still don't, I mean, of course I have the answer, I'm just not that advanced. I don't have that attraction. And it will come, you know, through the chanting. It will come there. But that kind of attraction to the deity or to the pure devotee is so purifying that even a great king like Rahuguna, even the dull-headed hippie generation in America, upon experiencing Srila Prabhupada, some of us, not everybody obviously, some of us opened our third eye and saw standing there a Vaikuntha man who wanted to give us the greatest gift. And the feeling that you have when that first happens is, I can't say completely like Maharaj Rahuguna's complete realization of the purity of Jad Bharat, but certainly it offers a peek, a glimpse into the spiritual mellows, those feelings of being completely in love and coming from love. So, in preparation for this talk today, I was looking for where perhaps Prabhupada had given a lecture on this verse. That's always a good place to start. But in fact, I came across, not Prabhupada didn't lecture on this particular verse, but there were a couple of files, or audio files, of two different devotees who had given lecture, and I listened to them last night. And one was a lecture by Shonaka Rishi from the Hindu Oxford Hindu Studies program, which I just visited when I was in England. And he was describing how in the Oxford system of school there are no classes. It's really a medieval kind of system, which is a reflection of the Gurukul system. You only relate to your professor, and you're one-on-one with your professor. And your professor, you meet with him once a week. And the rest of the time, you're expected to do self-work and study and be prepared for that one meeting, because that one meeting will show whether or not you have actually performed your work properly. So it's a very independent system. it's kind of like the way we have to do it here. We're either coming to the temple or living in the temple, but our devotion, you know, nobody's going to chant our rounds for us. Hey, Prabhu, I'm really busy. Do you think you could chant an extra four and a half rounds for me today? You know, we can't pull that off. We can't do that. Because it's incumbent upon ourselves. We have to save ourselves. And, you know, we say in ISKCON, you have to fly your own plane. So this system of meeting with a person very advanced in knowledge is existing even from ancient times in the Gurukul, and it even continues today. There's a recognition that by association with a highly evolved person, it'll rub off on you. You will advance in that way. And, you know, that's our tradition. And we have to find that person. Or, if that person of 100% is not there, we have to find the person who is closest to that pure devotee, who can transmit the knowledge, not just the knowledge, but the vigyan, not just the gyan, the vigyan. He's got to be able to give us the feeling. Because without the emotional, spiritually emotional component to Krishna consciousness, it's as dry as a desert. It's just no fun. You've got to have some modicum of feeling. And that feeling comes only in relationship. And those relationships must be in order to advance with devotees. As Prabhupada said, there's devotees in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of goodness. So we want to find those devotees with whom we can associate that are as much in the mode of goodness or in the mode of sudasattva, pure goodness, as possible. Because through them, we can not only have knowledge, but we can have spiritual rasa, relationship, and mellows, and feelings. And that's really essential for us. Because we are existing in a human body. And that body is a vessel, it's a vehicle for us to actually advance and feel the ecstasies of Krishna consciousness. When we're dancing in kirtan, those feelings are coming. If we're feeling the ecstasy, there our body is expressing those feelings, because that's what we have right now. We have this body, and we want to use it as that instrument. We want to spiritualize everything, including our emotions, our thoughts, and of course, that comes through the pursuance of bhakti, devotion. It's a byproduct of our actions. You know, is it that thoughts don't count in this Kali Yuga? There's no karma for any thoughts. You can have all the bad thoughts you want. Not to worry. Doesn't count. You know, you can think to yourself, gosh, I hate that devotee. Look what he did to the other devotee. This, that. You can. Doesn't matter. As long as your actions are, yes, Prabhu Hare Krishna, so nice to have your association. You know, that's the only thing that matters. And that's the beauty of bhakti. And Shanaka Rishi was making this point in a class in Radhadesh, that he said that that's the ultimate boon that we have, is that everything that counts is an action. And therefore, we have this wonderful, amazing opportunity to create relationships, find those people who reciprocate with us on that level of reciprocating actions of goodness, kindness, and spiritual advancement. So I had thought of this beautiful song, Vaishnava Vinakriti, which describes the relationship in a very sweet way. How a pure devotee affects us. Now it's he. I don't know if I'll play it. I'll just maybe sing it. Ebaru karuna koro Vaishnav Gosai Patita pavana toma bineke honai Jaharanikata gele papa dure jai Emana dayala prabhu geba kota pai. O Vaishnav Goswami, please be merciful to me now. There is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls. Where does anyone find such a merciful personality by whose mere audience all sins go far away? Gangara parasha hole pashate paran darshane pavitra koro eto maragon. After bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganges many times, one becomes purified. But just by the sight of you, just by the sight of you, the fallen souls are purified. That is your great power. Haristani aparade tari harinam tomastane aparade nahi paritra. The holy name delivers one who has committed an offense to Lord Hari, but if one commits an offense to you, there is no means of deliverance. Tomara hidoye sada Govinda Vishram Govinda Kohena Mara Vaishnava Param. Your heart is always the resting place of Lord Govinda. And Lord Govinda says, the Vaishnavas are in my heart. Pratijane Koryasha Charanaraduli Narotame Koro Doya Panarboli. I desire the dust of your holy feet in every birth I may take. Please consider Narottam yours and be kind upon him. Now this is millions of years later, and yet the principle is the same. I want your dust. I got the dust. Give me the dust. I want the dust of your feet. I don't even want your feet. Actually, Prabhupada never let anyone touch his feet as much as possible, because he knows that's how you transfer. You know, karma. You know, we don't follow that rule, but it's not a good thing, just so we know. It's not a good thing to touch someone else's feet, because you're giving them your karma. God knows if I touch someone's feet, they'd have a terrible time. Because, I'm not even born in the Varnashram. You can't even, we're Yavanas, we're Malechas, we have no way. Our Gotra is a Chucha Gotra, you know, it's not even part of the Varnashram system. And when I was listening to what Shaunaka Rishi was saying, he was saying it's really irrelevant. You know, the Varnashram, no matter how we try to institute, it's pretty difficult. We haven't gotten very far in all these years. I mean, if I were to say in this audience, please, all sutras, raise your hand. You know, please, anybody who's a sutra, here? Do we have any Vaishyas? Got some Kshatriyas? But if I say Brahmins, we're going to get a lot of hands, isn't it? Because we like to think of ourselves that way. You know, this is the way it works. But, you know, I don't have even a Gotra. I got nothing. So Prabhupada gave this, he didn't give it that much emphasis. I know he said, you know, Varnashram, I haven't established Varnashram and everything, but still, his emphasis, while he was here, his emphasis was on what? Us giving Krishna, preaching, broadcasting, distributing Krishna to people. It was paramount. And you know, in this beautiful encounter between Rahugana and Jagat Bharat, the principle wasn't for Jagat Bharat that this was a, you know, king that he was going to show him now, you know, beat him to the ground because he was thinking himself so powerful, or just like we in the West, you know, Prabhupada didn't come and judge us and say your birth is lower than, it's off the map. It doesn't even fall into our system. He didn't say anything like that. He just engaged us in actions, Krishna conscious actions. And that's why we cried, because he loved us. He cared for us. He didn't see us as materially. He didn't look at us that way. Oh, of course, he saw this was a girl, that was a guy. Yeah, I mean, he made distinctions, but ultimately, he embraced us. Even when we fell down, he picked us up again and again. If a devotee left, he sent other devotees to run after him. That is the worst thing for Prabhupada, that someone left. He didn't want anyone to leave. So he tried to show us an example. He didn't try, he did show us an example of how much we can do for each other in encouraging one another in our sangha, in our relationships. And for us, the lesson is, let me find those devotees that have that highest level of expression of Vaishnava caring for each other. Only then will I feel really encouraged. Otherwise, I'm just doing what, you know, I'm just doing my dharma, I'm just doing my duty, but I'm not feeling any, I'm not getting anything back. We are our own best friends, and we can be our own worst enemies with each other. So yesterday you had a very scholarly presentation of the philosophy. And interestingly enough, in Sanskrit, the word darshan, it actually means also in Sanskrit philosophy. The darshan that we understand is I was viewed by, seen by. But actually it also includes this understanding that it is philosophy. And so when you take darshan of a pure devotee, the philosophy is all there. How else is it that in the early days when all we had was, you know, a Krishna book and teachings of Lord Chaitanya and, you know, one first canto, second canto, that was it. How is it during that time that so many people came to Krishna consciousness? I was explaining yesterday to Nantatirtha. I said, you know, it's a little bewildering because in those first years, the Hare Krishnas were known as the people with all the answers. We had no doubts. If you could ask us any question, and we would tell you the answer. And of course, you know, things like karma and reincarnation, all these things, they're not really a part of bhakti. That's all kind of normal stuff. We had all the answers about that. But bhakti, we had all the answers about bhakti. And, you know, going to the spiritual sky, where we came from, all these things, no problem. If you watch, ITV has beautiful videos of the devotees preaching with Prabhupada present there. Madhuvisa, original Madhuvisa in Australia, he's preaching to this crowd of students. Prabhupada is sitting back beaming because he's following every question they're throwing at him. He has an answer for everything, and Prabhupada's so proud. You know, sitting like that. And now, we have so many books. Additional books, we've translated so many different things of the Goswamis, you know, and we have histories and all this. And now, you know, if you ask devotees' questions, you know, there's like maybe two or three answers, and they're arguing about, you know, did we come from the Tatishta? Were we originally in the spiritual sky? Nobody falls, blah, blah, blah. You know, how does this appear to the guru thing? We get the, you know, we're a little confused now. When Prabhupada was present, I'm telling you, crystal clear. Crystal clear. And what a relief. You know, Vaishnavas have a tendency to argue with one another. I mean, you look back in our history, there's always discussions, not arguments, but heated discussions. And, but in those first years with Prabhupada, there was hardly any argument. Nobody was arguing the philosophy, you know. If there was any question, just went to Prabhupada and he settled it. And that was the end of it. So we had a great advantage. And what came out of that was a lot of conviction, even that withstood a lot of turmoil over the past 40 years. Turmoil from the material energy, turmoil from within. So therefore it's really nourishing to watch, hear Srila Prabhupada, watch Srila Prabhupada. I was very happy to hear that all the sets of the complete Prabhupada DVD library that I brought from ITV last year and that the Sankirtan department had bought from me. They bought every set. I was very surprised. They're all sold. Since I was here last March, they're all sold. I was so happy because I know that people are getting to see Prabhupada. They're getting to see that personality who can give them the simplicity of the feeling of bhakti. It's just a very simple thing. And I experience it very much here amongst the devotees in this temple. This is one of the most Prabhupada-centered temples I've ever been to, and I've traveled very widely. And frankly, it's my favorite temple in India. Really, it is. It's just, it has been such a great honor to be here, especially amongst the devotees who are so steady and so welcoming, and the members that come, I see the same faces coming, and the people that are taking darshan every day, and this, I know there's politics that go on here, I know, you know, like everywhere else, but I can tell you from an outsider's point of view that you're so fortunate, really you are. And you are just a terrific group, every single one of you. And if there's something I can do to be of service, please don't hesitate to ask me. If there are any questions, I'm happy to try to answer, although nowadays I don't know if I can give you the answer that other people might give you. So if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
We people are broadly one system. And Prabhupada made you people pure rational. This is the association of a pure devotee. My question is, not my question, just a comment for... वो हिंदी में comment है कि एक pure Vaishnav ने क्या कहा गुरु के बारे में गुरु गोविंद दोनों खड़े काके लागू फाओ बलिहारी गुरु आपकी जिन गोविंद यो बताए
What did he say? Need a little help here. I need a little help here.
He said that when Guru and Lord both are standing, whom should I bow first?
Who's standing?
Guru, Master and Lord are standing together.
The Lord and the Guru?
Are standing together. So whom should I bow first? That is a popular saying in Hindi. So he said that I will bow down to my Guru first. Because he has shown the Lord to me. So he deserves my respect first. And Lord comes next, like that. That is a popular saying in Hindi.
Yeah, that's how I understood it. That's how I understand it. We're there by the mercy of Krishna. We sing this every morning. One gets the spiritual master, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets Krishna. So we're beholden to the spiritual master. We're always going through the parampara. So we're offering our obeisances through. Just like we're serving Radharani, we're not serving Krishna directly. So, I agree.
My question is, there are four sectarian paths in Vaishnavism. So in each path, there must be one pure devotee by whose shelter the disciples can be delivered. So in case there is no pure devotee in any of the paths, not only ISKCON, but everywhere, and one becomes a disciple of a master who is not a pure devotee from inside, then what happens to the deliverance of that disciple?
The way I understand it, after hundreds of thousands of words bandied about on this subject within ISKCON, is that you're being connected to the parampara. That sometimes the guru is a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, and sometimes they're not pure, but they're still plugging you in. And they're still that guru. They're plugging you in, and even if something happens to them, you're connected, and that connection, it doesn't fail. Just like if you go to kindergarten and you're taught by a kindergarten, and then later on in fourth grade, the kindergarten teacher somehow does something very bad, you're not affected by it because you have gained that position, that now that you've been plugged in, you've done it, you've gone through that course. So it's not that we're not, also Prabhupada talks about the Madhyama Adhikari, various levels, the Madhyama, the Uttama, and the Kanishta. And each of them can be acting as spiritual master, because our job as Vaishnavas is to be connected by Diksha. But far more important than Diksha in our Vaishnava tradition is Shiksha. Whom you really surrender to may not be the initiating guru. He's always a respectful, just like was it Shamananda? When he came to Vrindavan from Puri, he really found Jiva Goswami as his primary teacher. And when his guru in Puri found out about it, he came to Vrindavan to chastise him, but ultimately understood that, in fact, Jiva Goswami was serving his disciple better than he could. So, in our tradition, we may be, we have so many gurus now, you may be inspired to take Diksha from any one of them. They're officiating in that way. They are your guru, but you may find most of your inspiration, if not all of it, from your Shiksha. And that might be Prabhupada, or it might be somebody else, which is perfectly acceptable in our mind. We have, the thing we have to realize, or I have realized, is that there is a variety in spiritual life, in the spiritual world. It's variegated. Prabhupada uses that word, variegated. Don't doubt that there is variety in the way in which we relate to guru in this world. What is true for one person may be not so true for another person. You know, everyone has a difference. We all have differences. We all look different. We all have different karmas. We all have different samskars. There's going to be a different solution for each person. And to try and put a cookie cutter on it has been a very dangerous thing to do. You cannot standardize the relationship between guru and disciple. It is completely private. And it's a marriage. And it's born out of devotion and love and respect. And that cannot be bought, and it cannot be legislated, no matter how many rules you make. So there's plenty of room for everybody, and there's plenty of room for us to approach it in different ways.
So we have the backing of the entire parampara, not the initiating master only, right? We have the backing of the entire parampara, backing, support.
Yeah, we're supported, completely. We're connected. It's a transparent line through the acharyas, although there may be so many spiritual masters in between those great acharyas that are not on that platform. That's okay. They're serving their gurus, doing what we have to do. We have to, you know, Prabhupada's whole principle was push on this broadcasting of Krishna consciousness. The details were not that important. We get hung up in the details. What are you doing to get Prabhupada's books out there or to serve in the temple? That's what's important. That's what really Krishna wants to see. He wants to see what are our actions. You know, it's too much mental, I don't want to say the word. Anyway, the main thing is how can we get other people to understand that God is a person, that person is Krishna, you have a relationship with him, the Hare Krishna mantra can get you there. That's our job. That's our main job. Varnashram, gotras, all the rules and regulations, etc., they're all secondary to the main goal. And that's why Prabhupada was able to start this movement with Milechas, because he understood that. And he said, it's not doing it this way, that way. They'll learn in due course of time, the births will get better. You know, I'm planning on coming back many, 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 many millions of births to perfect my bhakti. No rush. So, thank you very much. Oh, another? Yes.
I certainly agree that this temple can be a role model for ISKCON around the world. The quality of the...
Can you hold the mic closer? I can't hear you.
Yeah, I agree that this temple can be a role model for ISKCON around the world for just the quality of the devotees and the quality of the whole program. But regarding parampara, which Prabhupada emphasized and you have also emphasized, who follows after Prabhupada, Esi Bhaktivedanta, in parampara?
Is that a question?
There are many, many very good devotees, but following the parampara system, who is next after Prabhupada?
And that's why I'm concluding the class. We'll leave you to research that for yourselves. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.